Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, welcome back. This is Kelly Campbell with the Legal Nurse Podcast. We're lucky today. Today's topic is demonstrative evidence, and our guest is Sean Denon with Precise Law. Sean Denon helps law firms level the playing field by providing attorneys with the technical resources they need so they are never technologically outmatched. His 16-plus years of experience delivering quality IT services to the legal community has helped him gain an understanding of what is required to support firms and create solutions that help them effectively tell their story. Technology is part of our everyday culture, and proper use can really give attorneys an advantage. His life goals is to help them realize this advantage. When he's not working hard at giving attorneys and us the edge, he likes to go on weekend family adventures with his wife and three boys or hit the mats for some Brazilian jiu-jitsu training. Welcome, Sean. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Kelly. Appreciate it.
Oh, this is going to be really beneficial to us today. Some of our services do include providing demonstrative evidence. Can you help us by sharing some of your knowledge?
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously this is a topic very near and dear to my heart. And, you know, one thing that I've really been focused on as of late is really trying to understand some of the psychology that goes behind a lot of this. And really, you know, just realizing that in today, the way that we live in a world where we're constantly consuming information via technology. I've seen all types of different statistics and things out there that say the average adult might look at a screen for up to 9 hours a day. Now that's including your cell phone and your TV and your computer screen at work. And, you know, I hear these statistics from time to time, Kelly, and I think like, wow, these are just outrageous. You know, there's no way possible. But then I look at myself internally and I realize I'm probably doing something similar while trying to run businesses and everything else. So
nine
I think it's
hours.
9 hours is what they say is the average. So again, I think that we are becoming so conditioned to consume information through technology that, you know, we're almost at a disadvantage if we're just trying to go the old route and just trying to explain things and having jurors try to visualize themselves. We've kind of taken away people's ability to do that through the way that we live our lives today. So I've just found that very interesting. And that's something that I've been really focusing on and looking at statistics and various things around there. And that's kind of where, you know, I want the focus of this podcast to be on today, because I think it's just such a key important factor. And it's something that, you know, everyone listening to the podcast today can really use in their practice and really being, you know, in a position to help articulate this and talk to people about why they want to use these type of demonstratives and why things that are interactive are going to engage, you know, the jurors better and have them gain a better understanding. Because let's face it, everything that we deal with, everything that we talk about on a day to day, you know, for all the legal nurses here, it's very easy to understand. This is your field. This is what you work in. For the doctors that we're dealing with, very easy to understand. But for the layperson to really understand some of this terminology and some of the things used, you know, having a visual guide is key and critical for them. I know for me personally, you know, I'm definitely not in the medical field or in that realm, and we have some great certified medical illustrators on staff here. But you know, even just trying to get some of these concepts and understand things. I mean, my own medical illustrators here will sometimes just pull out an example and will just show me via an example. And it just shows the power of what these demonstratives do.
Well, at the same time, I guess we should prepare and let the audience know, you are also a co-author for the AALNC Principles and Practice textbook for demonstrative evidence, me being the other co-author. So when you're selling yourself short when you say you're not necessarily in the medical field. This is your wheelhouse. So that being said.
And I appreciate that mention. That was a fun project to work on with you, Kelly. I think, just looking back and seeing where that was and just seeing all the changes that happened since that was first written was pretty impressive to see. So that was a fun project.
Yes, it was. So, and it should be available, I believe, this fall. So that being said, I know your business based on technology and looking at things for 9 hours in a day. I know your business has started to focus on day in life videos. Can you tell the audience a little bit about that? I know I'm starting to utilize it in my referral source, and my attorney clients really like to utilize that.
No, absolutely. We've seen a big rise in that. And to be honest, Kelly, I think it's a combination of just the nature of the way a lot of these suits are going. Like, we're seeing a lot more of these lawsuits go into mediation. And in a mediation setting, the use of like a day in the life video or a settlement demand video is great because it's a way that you can, send this information ahead of time. Oftentimes send it to the other side to show them, really what type of evidence and information and everything that you have that you're bringing to the table. But, another thing is sometimes in these mediation settings, the person that gets sent for the mediation might only have a certain authority or they might only have a certain amount that they can go up to. And honestly, what happens is, and I've heard this time and time again, it becomes a big waste of everybody's time because whatever their authority was nowhere near what the other side would even consider agreeing to. So sometimes that's even asked right out of the gate, what is that authority? Because if not, you're going to, spend a whole day doing a mediation and really waste everyone's time and not get anywhere. So using things like this can really, help you present your case to the mediators, help you have a better understanding. Because again, some of these cases are very complex and it's, you have a few hours to kind of put this on and really have them gain an understanding. If you're really trying to gain an understanding of the damages and what someone went through from a pain and suffering perspective, really sending this to in advance, letting them watch it, letting them digest the information, can really help your case and can really improve the value of it. Because let's face it, the damages portion of it is where, the largest opportunity for recovery is going to come in. And being able to show what these people truly have to go through on a day-to-day basis really brings it to life. And, I'll be honest, they're not the easiest to watch sometimes, but, our staff is highly trained in knowing how to deal with the sensitivities in those situations. And they do a great job of really bringing that story to life.
Yes. It's an added value. I'm speaking from personal experience on the cases that it's been utilized on. It does help in mediations as well as trials.
We actually just had one, Kelly, where and we just did some marketing on it, but it was the largest settlement ever paid by the state of Delaware. And I can't really get into the specifics on the case, but it was the largest settlement ever paid by the state of Delaware, and the attorney directly attributes the use of a settlement video to helping gain that award. So that was pretty exciting when you hear something like that. It shows that all this work and everything that goes behind the scenes is really making an impact. So that was pretty exciting for us.
Well, that makes sense. Now, was this for a trial or a mediation?
No, this is actually just for a settlement. So this actually never went to trial. Okay. Mediation. This was pre-trial, pre-mediation.
Okay. Yeah. Excuse me. I should have understood that. I was moving on down to our next topic point. Sorry. I should have realized that. But the next topic point, demonstratives over simulation.
Yes. Yes. So this is something that, so we have a lead animator on staff here at Precise. He's actually one of my partners. partners. And he's very adamant about this, and he talks about this a lot. I have a little white paper, Kelly, that I can share as a resource where everyone can download, where it's like five top key considerations for animations, things that you're going to want to talk about with your attorneys, you know, in terms of the time frame and what they need to do and what they need to consider. But one of the things that we always stress and is always important is, you know, understanding that these animations are demonstrative evidence and not simulation evidence. You can do both, but I'll kind of go through and describe why we always lean towards the demonstrative evidence. Demonstrative evidence, you're basically saying that, you know, this piece of evidence is being used to educate the audience or to explain something. The courts are going to hold demonstrative evidence to a lower relevancy standard with regard to admissibility. So you're not going to get things like, well, hey, what were the wind conditions that day? And what was this? And what was that? What were the weather conditions and things that could affect it? Because obviously the other side is going to try to figure out ways to get this thrown out. And if you're going in claiming that this is a simulation evidence, this is an exact replica of what happened that day, you open yourself up to a lot of things that people could then object to and say, well, what about this? Did you factor this? Did you factor that? When you have an expert on the stand who's saying, listen, this has been validated, you absolutely want to get an expert to validate the animation and or exhibit that you're using. But, you know, post that, if it's demonstrative evidence, you know, in order to get that validated, it's typically, you know, can you validate, you know, even, you know, someone like you, Kelly, could do the same thing. You know, can you validate that this is a representation of what is the situation or what occurred or what happened? So that's something that we always do. You know, obviously a simulation expensive would be 10 times more expensive too, because you have to factor in all those things and try to get everything right. And there's tons of science that goes into it. So that's just one little tidbit that I like to share with everybody. You always want to focus any type of animation or anything you're doing is demonstrative evidence.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification. Now, we spoke briefly about the consuming information today and technology. Yep. Why not use it in court?
Let me interrupt this program to ask you a question. Do you know how valuable it is for an attorney to have a nurse help plan demonstrative evidence? You've got the medical knowledge, and you can effectively communicate with medical illustrators to help the attorney to then communicate with the jury. This is Pat Iyer. My Demonstrative Evidence Value Pack is the online training you need to comfortably and efficiently help your attorney clients. It consists of three online programs that deepen your knowledge, increase your confidence, and sharpen your skills so that your clients come to depend on you for creating their exhibits. Order this value pack at http://lnc.tips/demo and save 25% with the code LISTENED. Put that code in the coupon box at checkout.
Yeah. So, well, you know, I always give this story. So prior to Precise, I've always been in the legal technology space, and prior to Precise, we worked with some of the AM Law 100 and AM Law 50 firms, and really some of the large high stakes litigation. So your biggest patent trials, your Apple v. Samsung's, those type of cases across the country. And, you know, obviously dealing in those cases, you're dealing with larger budgets and, you know, things, people like to have the cool factor, right? That's what we're going for with some of this is you really want it to show, and you want people to be engaged and really, you know, be excited about it. Well, I'll give a little story. There was one time, and this is many years ago, I was working with an attorney, and he's talking about his openings, and he's talking about the technology that he wants to use in court and do all these things. And he's like, you know, what I'd really love to have right next to the jury box is one of those large screens that they use on like ESPN, where the guys could just wave their hands and things move and things happen and and all that kind of stuff, you know? And he's like, I think that would be super cool. And, you know, and budget's really not an issue. So that's not a concern, and this, that, and the other thing. So, you know, now me being a business person, that excites me, right? I can, you know, put in a large piece of equipment. I mean, that's the business that I was in, Kelly. I was in the business of providing technology in the courtroom. So, you know, I got excited about the project, but the reality is I went back to them and I was able to say, listen, you know, you get one moment in court, okay? You're delivering your opening statement. You're delivering your power statement. You're dropping that piece of evidence that, you know, is just going to completely change the jury's mind or really sway them in the direction that you're trying. And you're doing everything. It's truly an art form that the attorneys do in the courtroom. And there would be nothing worse than building up, you know, it's somewhat of a performance, right? They have to build it up. They have to build up the scenario. They have to talk about the situation. They have to talk about everything. And then you're going to deliver that power punch, that piece of evidence. And right when you wave your hand and right when everything's been built up and the jury's hanging on the edge of their chair, you go to say that and you wave your arm and nothing happens. You will never get that moment back in court. So while I am a technologist and I do promote heavy use of technology and I believe in use of technology in every court and every scenario, I always caution the cool factor. I always caution people that want to get too fancy with it or, hey, let's go all wireless and do this. And I just saw this new tech, you know, on Newegg come out last week and everything like that. That stuff has no place in the courtroom. You know, you want simple, you know, VGA switching, you want basic things. Again, you can have the high res, you can have the high res projectors, you can have everything done in 4K and all that kind of stuff. So it can look fantastic, but don't get fancy with, you know, things where you're going to wave hands in front of video walls and all that kind of stuff. Because again, you know, that moment in court, you'll never get that back. And, you know, just giving that example to that attorney was very quickly able to say, well, you know, can we just do the same thing? But instead of me waving my arm, we have your person press a button. And I'm like, that's a much safer approach to take. And, you know, fortunately, we're able to do that. He had a very successful opening. So that's where I always go with that. While technology is the way and it is what we're seeing and it is what you should be considering in most situations, I always caution the overuse of technology because it can become a hindrance if not used properly.
So very true. I've been in court and witnessed it, sadly.
Yeah. And it's so, I actually have this one slide on a presentation, Kelly, where, you know, it was a simple, I think, you know, a do-it-yourself model. There was some attorneys in court and they had a laptop and they were, you know, trying to push it up and everything. And it's just, you just see like the anxiety in the courtroom building and, you know, the judge is like, okay, well, take a few minutes and try to figure it out. And you just see, and it's like, I always show people, I'm like, I'm not even in that courtroom and I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. You know, it's definitely something that you don't want to do. And again, it's just more of the, you know, what is technology supposed to do? It's supposed to support your message. It's supposed to help the jury recall, and it's supposed to help them remember and have that impactful moment. You know, you don't want that impactful moment to be you saying something, them waiting for a big delivery on this big fancy screen in front of them, and then nothing happens. Again, you know, that's what they'll remember, is they'll remember nothing happened as a result of your buildup.
Correct. And you know, the example I saw was, it ended up being an overhead projector. And what happened was the attorney put something up and he only intended half of the page to be shown, and the jury saw everything.
Yep.
And had it been, you know, a prepared slide, he would have controlled what the jury saw. So,
yeah. And in some cases that can get pretty dangerous too, Kelly, because, you know, showing something to the jury, you know, there might be a reason that he wasn't showing the rest of it, you know, a reason for their case, and or that piece wasn't able to be admitted, you know. So sometimes, you know, we've seen that too, where if you're not careful with redactions and things that are supposed to be coming out, you can accidentally put things up. But there's ways and there's systems to really work around all that. you know, there's ways to have it set up where you can publish things up to the judge's bench before it goes out to the other screens. And this is the type of technology that you want to use in the courtroom. That's very simple. It's very, you know, it's just directing a signal, essentially, Kelly. So that type of technology we always use in the courtroom. And I recommend that.
Yes. Okay. So we discussed about, I still can't get over the fact of 9 hours. So tell me a little bit more and the audience about show and tell retention. If we're consumed with 9 hours, how and what can we
retention? Is really interesting. This is where it gets really interesting. So, and you know, you have to think about how the nature of a case goes, and you know, you're going to put up your case, and then the other side has a week to put up their case, and there's that gap in between, you know, you putting up your case. So you're always concerned about, you know, well, what do the jurors remember, and what are they going to recall? And you know, there's a slide and statistic, and I can share that with you too, Kelly. But, you know, it was something along the lines of, you know, after 72 hours, I think, you know, when someone was just told something, there was like a 20% recall rate. If they were shown something, I think it jumped to like a 30% recall rate, but if they were shown and told something simultaneously, it jumps to a 70% recall rate. And again, I think it's just the way that, you know, our brains are conditioned to learn. I have three young children, so everything that they're doing, every program, their math programs, everything is on computers now. My one son is in an advanced math program, and he comes home and he logs in and he's doing things on the computer I could never even imagine doing. So again, I think it, you know, I think that there's something really behind, you know, not just the effectiveness. Obviously, why do we watch motion pictures and movies and everything? Because it's entertaining. Why do we watch hours of YouTube video? Because whatever that YouTuber's doing is entertaining, and my kids watch even more hours of it. But, you know, they're getting something out of it. Now, the ones they watch, Kelly, I'll be honest, I don't know what entertainment value they're getting out of watching other kids play video games, but whatever it is, it's engaging to them, and they're stuck to it. But again, I think that, you know, we have to look at, as a society, you know, now people that are in our jury box, you know, they're not people, you know, and I don't mean to date or age myself here, but they're not people that didn't have the computer in their college dorm room, right? These are people that are born with cell phones. You know, this is a generation that was born with this technology. So I can only imagine some of these recall statistics and things that we see. I mean, those are coming from, I pulled those years ago, Kelly. I would think that's even changing the more and more we become conditioned to only receiving information through forms of technology. And I think that's just going to be a trend that continues.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Very interesting. But thank you for your time today. Tell us thank you for your offer to provide us with some data. Tell us how we can reach out to you, your impressive firm. And before I do that, I want to thank you and your team for volunteering your time to the Principles and Practice textbook on, we just really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. No, I enjoyed doing that. And even, you know, our certified medical illustrator that got involved and the people here on our team that got involved, they really enjoyed it as well. If anyone ever has any questions, and listen, you know, I like to represent my company as a technology firm, and that's what we are. You know, I have some of my partners are attorneys. I myself am a technologist. And what I always like to tell people is that, you know, we're here, we're available, reach out to us, even if you just have a question, because chances are in our 17 years of running this business, we've probably seen it. We oftentimes get people reach out and just say, hey, I'm thinking about doing something. I have this case that involves a motorcycle and a tire and this, that, and the other thing. And we might have two or three examples of a similar case that we can share and show and just get ideas and everything. So I always like to tell people it's free to reach out to us. It's free to have an initial concept call. That's what our team does. They're creative and they love just kind of talking through and seeing what's there. And the other thing is I think sometimes people get very hung up on, you know, cost and budget and what does this stuff cost? And, you know, I've had so many people tell me like, hey, I'd love to do that. But, you know, from a cost perspective, I just don't think it can happen and make sense. And, you know, I always share that technology is not one size fits all. And this is something that you should always be in position to talk to your clients about as well, is that, you know, yeah, you can create some crazy demonstrative animation that's 4 minutes long that has all these features that is $75,000 to create. And you can also create a simple animation that really shows what you're trying to say for a couple thousand dollars. Or you might even be able to use a PowerPoint slide with four clicks of a mouse that have something semi-animated that is even cheaper than that you can use. So don't disqualify technology just on the assumption of it could be too expensive or whatever, because certain scenarios are expensive. Not all scenarios fit that. So I always like to tell our clients that, and I think it's something that as you're out there talking with your clients and your client base, that's always something to remind them of. And listen, you know, the budget's the budget. So when it comes back, if you see, hey, this is still outside the budget, then you know what your options are. But I always encourage people just to reach out and explore those options. And with that said, if you ever go to www.precise-law.com, you'll see lots of different examples. You go to explore our work section. We have all kinds of video examples. We have example settlement videos, example day in the life, and lots of animation examples. And you can actually go in and click by case type and kind of explore those. And for everything that you're seeing on the website, we probably have another 100 examples behind that. So I encourage you to reach out if anyone ever has any questions or would just like to bounce things off of us or talk to somebody about admissibility or things like that. We're here to help, and my team would be happy and honored to provide assistance.
And I know that's a sincere offer. So thank you. Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kelly. Have a wonderful day.
All right. And audience, don't forget to click like and subscribe. Tune in next week for Pat Iyer's Legal Nurse Podcast. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Be sure to do two things when you stop listening to this podcast. If you're not already receiving them, sign up for our transcripts of the podcast. We email them to you so that you can save them, refer to them, or read them instead of listening to our shows. Get your Legal Nurse Podcast transcripts at this link, http://lnc.tips/transcripts. The link is http://lnc.tips/transcripts. And next, request your demonstrative evidence value pack at http://lnc.tips/demo. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on the price. Put that in the coupon code box at checkout. And that link again is http://lnc.tips/demo. The code for the 25% discount is the word LISTENED. I'll talk to you next week. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on LegalNurseBusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at LegalNurseBusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month Clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on LegalNurseBusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at LNCAcademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.